Every time I come into this house, there is a draw out of you of something in me that God wants to say to you. And I really felt this morning that almost I could weight the two things I'm going to do this morning, say some things from the Lord for you, and then preach, teach. But I felt like the Lord said, I want to weight both things equally. Both things are important today. And I felt the Lord speak to me. I heard a yes from the Lord in kind of an open room. And you know when you hear this echo, yes, 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 yes. And I heard an ongoing echo of yes, just yes coming from all angles. And it just seemed to carry on perpetually. Like the echo never ended. It just carried on saying yes, 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 yes. And this is what I felt the Lord say for you as a church, that you're standing in front of the Lord, and your standing in front of the Lord is a yes. Let me say this. This is not for everyone. It's for everyone in the life of this church. But most times when we're before the Lord, the answer is you have to go and get a yes from the Lord. You know, must I do this? Go and ask the Lord. You'll get a yes from him or a no. No, you mustn't do that. I felt the Lord say to your community, you have a standing yes. That's quite something. I thought, wow, a standing yes. In other words, Lord, must we fix the roof of this building? Yes. That's nice to know. Must we go and plant a church here? Yes. Must we release these people in the ministry? Yes. It's almost like the Lord was saying, you keep going with the yes until I break in and say, no, I don't want you to do that. There's a standing yes for this community. And I felt the Lord say, you need to take advantage of your favor. Take advantage of the yes of the Lord. Is there a new area that we need to take on in God? The answer is yes. Is there a new ministry that we need to launch? The answer is yes. Take advantage of the Lord's favor, Northlands Church. There is a favor upon you, and the answer is yes. Secondly, I felt the Lord say that there are four churches in your immediate future. And I felt like the Lord said, there's one to the north, there's one to the east, there's one to the south, and one to the west of this community. And when I heard that from the Lord, I thought, well, that must be symbolic. Like the Lord wants to give you the city, must be, you know, north, south, east, west. That sounds symbolic to me. And the Lord said, no, it's not. There will be a church out of your community. There will be a church in the north. There will be a literal church in the south. There will be a literal church to the east and to the west of you. God will give you communities. Immediately in the near future, there will be churches that are connected into this community. And they are literal churches, actual Northlands churches. God is multiplying you. And part of what I'm sharing today, even in the preach, is, in a sense, the multiplication of that community that God wants to release out of you. The last thing I felt the Lord say, and this is quite a personal thing because it kind of came out of a personal experience that I had with the Lord. And the Lord said to you as a community, and I do think this is also for you personally and individually, you can receive this for yourself. The Lord said, ask of me and I will answer you. I want to answer you stuff. I want to give answers to you. And I've had the most amazing experience happen to me in my entire Christian life and experience and ministry over this last year since we last met. I have a habit of writing down in my journal little questions or things that I'm kind of working through with the Lord. And I had five questions sitting in my journal. And I arrived into Germany ministering last year into a church. And as part of that journey, I'm standing there, I'm finished preaching, and an Egyptian lady walks forward and stands in front of me, can only speak Arabic. She's there for the very first time. She doesn't know who I am. I wasn't introduced in the meeting properly. It was my fifth visit to this church. And she begins to prophesy and says, the Lord has seen your questions and he wants to answer you. And then she says, question number one. She had my attention at that point. And she begins to quote my journal, the exact question out of my journal. and answers it. Question number two, she quotes the second question. She proceeds to quote all five questions out of my personal private journal. And the Lord gives answers. It's why this is quite personal to me. Because when I was praying for you, the Lord said, I want to answer you. Ask me. I want to answer you, Northlands Church. There are things I want to speak to you. Ask me and I will speak to you. And I felt the Lord say, almost as direct as he was with me, he wants to direct you, he wants to speak to you. There is a yes in the house. Let God answer the questions that are in your life. He wants to answer you. I think that's really, really exciting. I don't know about you. I think that's, wow, this is a great church to be part of. And this is a great season to be in this place, because I think favor flows over. I think it flows over from the life of the church onto my life, onto the families and the communities that are represented in this room. And that really, really excites me. The primary role of a local church is not to grow large. You may say, well, shouldn't we grow? Oh, absolutely. You should grow. But it is to multiply. We are multiplication people. You see, the DNA that heaven has put into our lives is to multiply out into the world, is to speak out of our lives and out of our communities. And I want to talk about that growing community, that idea that there is a multiplication of the heart and the values and the life out of this community. And I thought to myself, the very best place I can preach that from is the table of the Lord. The table of community. The table of gathering. We're gathered around the cross. We're gathered around the finished work of Jesus. And I wanted to preach this message from behind this table today, because it represents well the heart of what God wants to communicate with you. I particularly want to pick my message this morning out of 1 Corinthians. And it's an interesting book. It's an interesting epistle, 1 Corinthians, because, man, it's a real mess. I mean, it really is. Let's be honest. 1 Corinthian church that Paul is writing to is a real messy church. But I think we learn our best lessons from mess. Have you noticed that? I look at my own life and I think, actually, the best lessons I've learned have been out of my mistakes. John Powell once wrote this. He says, the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. We learn best when sometimes we're at our very worst. We learn great lessons. So, well, geez, I must never do that again. That was a disaster. And then we adjust and God moves us and shapes us and takes us on a journey through our mistakes. I have really made a lot of those. And I'm still making them. God's still got me on a journey. And I'm sure you can echo much of that as well. But there's some demonstration of learning around community that I think we need to learn, that we need to multiply into this incredible city that you live in. 1 Corinthians 11:34 says this, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. I read that scripture because something fascinates me about it. The other things. I always get interested when the apostle says other things. What other things? Doesn't that ever strike you? What's he talking about? What are the other things that the apostle wanted to share with this community? And because he actually never really made it back to this community. And 2 Corinthians probably represents more of the other things that he wanted to say to this community of people. 1 Corinthians really about doing and the things they were doing wrong particularly. And 2 Corinthians is really about being. God, the apostle wanted to communicate into this community that they needed to be something. They needed to express something in their community. What is this being community like? And I think that's what I want to talk about today. Our community really is like a salad bowl. You know what a salad bowl is? You know, you got the lettuce. You got the little raw vegetables and seeds and a little bit of feta, a little bit of stuff thrown in. And then we do the good American thing. You get some ranch dressing. We go, this is me. I mean, people laugh. I love a good salad bar. There's a particular place in Denmark when we minister there. I go to this place and they've got a great salad bar. They've got some wonderful, what's it, these? Some olives. I'm a big fan of olives. But people laugh at me because I get all this bowl of all this great stuff and then they have a dressing, a Thousand Islands dressing. It's just unbelievable. And I take a ladle of it and make a perfectly healthy salad, truly unhealthy, by ladling on. And Karen says to me, this is nuts. This is crazy. The only thing you're tasting is the dressing. I said, I love the dressing. Sometimes I wonder to myself whether the church is not a little bit like that. We have all these incredible ingredients of people arriving into community, and they're all part of this bowl, you know, the feta rubbing up against the lettuce and the olives and all the makeup of all the people. And then what we do is we say, oh, we're all going to be the same. And we pour the ranch dressing on, and we all lose our individuality, and we all lose our taste. A little bit of olive oil, bringing out the flavor in everyone, I think is what God probably had in mind when it came to this bowl. We have churches that really hang out and become so alike, so similar. I minister into the UK a bit, and did you know that the largest church in the UK is a Nigerian church? Thousands and thousands of, you guessed it, Nigerians. When you go into this church where you're meeting like 15, 20,000 people, you think to yourself, there can't be that many Nigerians in the UK. But there is, and they all gather. And they all sing like Nigerians. I say that not because I'm angry at that church, and I think it's, but we are losing something of our flavor in this thing that we got going on, where we all got to taste exactly the same. Something of the beauty of the feta is lost. And you know, the little olive and the little lettuce leaf that has individual ideas and flavor to it, we lose some of that when we liberally pour the ranch dressing on. Some churches kind of gather, I suppose, around styles of worship, styles of preaching maybe, length of meetings. Did you know that people choose a church just because of the length of the meeting? Some of you, maybe you're here for the first time today. This will be 1.5 hour meeting. When we hit 1.5 hours, you can leave. No, I'm only kidding. You know, some people, they choose that. No, I don't do 1.5 hour meetings. I do 1 hour meetings. So that church is out for me. There's strange things people do, or maybe theological positions. A major denomination in the country that I come from parted ways over baptism in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Two ways. Then the one group of people that parted ways with the other parted ways over whether people should be baptized forwards or backwards. You think to yourself, what's going on? We gather in our little enclaves, in our little groups. We have like-minded people at the like-minded sociological level of all of us. And we put liberal dressing on it to make sure that we all look and think and feel the same. We lose something of the individual tastes. I'm here to tell you that God wants to liberate His church. That the individual flavor and tastes of the lives of the men and women in this community are to be multiplied into the city. God has dreams and plans for each one. This is the table of the Lord, and everyone is invited. Everyone is invited. Luke chapter 14, verse 21 says, so the servants came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to me, servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. Everyone is invited to the party. I find in the movement and ways and things that I interact with around the world that we get quite enclavish. We draw little lines. We have little fences. And God is saying, no. Northlands Church, no fences. I'm throwing open the doors. I'm liberating you to speak to the city. I want the feta to talk to the world. I want the olives to speak. I want the lettuce flavor to come out as you speak to this city and this community. Everyone is invited. Some may be a bit surprised at who come. You may be surprised. Oh, well, did we invite them? Did they come? But you see, that's the thing. Our hearts need to be wide open. Our hearts, the kind of churches that you will plant into the future will not look like this. And it's okay. Why? Because the salad bowl, the community of believers, the difference is celebrated when Christ says, everyone is invited to the table. Anne Lamott says this, you can safely assume that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. We can't have a God created in our own image, because God says everyone is invited to this table. The rich, the poor, the young, the old are at this table, because this is a table of the Lord. This is a table where the rich rub shoulders with the poor. The feta rubs up against the lettuce. This is a table where the individual flavors of all the salad bowl that comes together says, no. A little bit of the oil of the Spirit all wrapped in. And now we can taste the beauty of everyone that comes to the table, to the community that God has designed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says this, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way also, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. You see, when we come to this table, when this community gathers, this multiplying virus just springing up everywhere, when we gather at the table, there are two things that are going on. One, remembrance. We remember. We're gathered because of Christ. We're gathered because of his blood, because of his body that is broken for us. And we remember, but we also gather because of Jesus, because of his body, because we're part of the church. And today I really want to say a couple of things to you as a community about the second, about the body. I want to focus on that a little bit, because Paul has some issues with the Corinthian church. And he makes some adjustments to them in 1 Corinthians. And I'm not saying I'm here to make adjustments to you. I'm just here to say we need to celebrate the salad bowl. And Paul says, I've got some issues with you. I've got some things that I need to, because you need to learn these lessons so that you become broken for the world that you live in. So the first thing Paul seems to indicate is a problem in the community and destroys community is divisions. In 1 Corinthians 11, 17, he addresses it. And he says, but in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, he says. I find in church, and I've been in church my whole life, I grew up under the front row, that there are things that we lean into that become our positions that can often cause divisions. They become our lean. Some people in this room have leanings. Have you noticed that? I've run into Israel people. There are such people. I've run into creationists. Are you a creationist? You're like it's the thing. It's your thing. I remember preaching in Oxford in England, and I'm preaching in a church, and I made some throwaway comment. I can't remember saying, you know, whether God created the world in a literal 7 days or whether he created it in some other process. I don't care. The fact is he created it. Wow, you would have thought, I don't know, I blasphemed or something. Because a guy made a beeline for me at the, he says, he stands up in front of me, he says, I'm a creationist. I didn't know there was such a thing. He says, I said, what is that? He says, no, I'm a literal, you know, and he starts telling me about dinosaur bones and I listen, but I've kicked out. And I think, well, you're not, and I didn't say this to him, but I think to myself, you're not going to last long here. You're going to find some other creationists, and all sit in your little enclave, and all your little feta people are all going to rub with feta people and do your feta thing. Some of our groups that we do tend to, you know, I'm a blood covenant person. I only meet with lettuce people who believe what I believe. And we have our little leanings. And the problem with our leaning, whether it's Israel, creationism, children, grace, in an ungracious way sometimes. We have our little thing. And the problem is that we are only learning in our lean. We have no capacity to learn anywhere else. The only thing we're learning about is into our natural lean. And I'm suggesting that probably everyone in this room has a little bit of a lean somewhere, a thing that's your thing. But I'm here to tell you, Northlands Church, learn away from your lean. Be open. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you stuff. He wants to open up your mind and heart so that the community doesn't create a fenced off position, but stays open and ready to receive people. We cannot create these spaces and divisions. Your learning has to grow beyond your lean, beyond your preference, beyond your thing. Oh, I'm a worship person. I love the kids. I learn kids. Can we not focus more on children? I love the idea that we can focus on kids. But this also has little mini carrots in it. And celery. I don't like celery. But a good salad has celery in it. Maybe an even worse thing for me, radish. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking, radish? Really? But you see, it's not my lean. I lean away from radish. But God's saying, you can learn from radish, Peter. You can grow with radish. Romans 16, verse 17 says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. It says even avoid them. Don't be a fence builder. Don't let your communities around the city, don't let them build fences. Open up your heart. God wants a salad bowl of community. The second thing Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:20, he talks about selfishness. He says, when you come together, is it not the Lord's Supper that you eat? For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry and another gets drunk. I must confess that I often find myself thinking about myself before I think about others. I have that tendency in myself. And I need to see the community. I need to open up my heart and think, Pete, this is not about you. Many, many years ago, America produced a basketball team. Basketball had just been reintroduced as a sport in the Olympics. And America introduced to basketball the dream team. Man, what a team. It was a team of superstars. They were the best. There was only one problem. They couldn't play together. And I remember the furore that happened when this dream team ended up losing to someone they should never have lost to. Why? Because being the dream team, being the best, doesn't help you when you play like an individual all the time. You're not playing for the team. You're not playing for the good of everyone. That everyone is part of this journey. Selfishness is really the driver of all relational trouble. That when you begin to think only about yourself, we begin to get at right angles with other people. Have you noticed that? Even in your marriage, when you make it about you, what happens to your marriage? Well, I deserve certain things. I deserve love. But instead of being a giver like Christ, and you make it a personal thing that you deserve, you begin to destroy something of the community and the relationship that you were meant to enjoy. John 12:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Something of my individuality has to die in the ground. And at this table, my seed goes into the ground and dies. And I say, guys, this is about us. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white, this is us. It's not about me anymore. It's not about my preference. Have you noticed how people shop for churches out of preference? I like, I don't like. They pick churches like you would pick them at a supermarket till. I like that. Low fat, 2%, 5%. You have so many options in this country. I'm stunned. I come to the supermarket. I don't know what to buy. I have options of 2 milk. Light milk, full milk. That's it. You've got like 25, 30 options. From soy to this. I don't know what it is. But that's the thing, isn't it? So when it comes to local church, we have these selfish choices when we need to put our seed into the ground and say, this is not about me. I think you're a community of people that know this well, that you come to put your seed in the ground and watch what God can do. The third thing that the apostle seems to highlight in 1 Corinthians 11:22 is excess. It says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you for this? No, I will not. The need to show off, the need to hold positions, looking together, looking more important, looking like you have it together, can be a problem for the salad bowl. Hi, everyone. My name is Peter. And I'm a sinner that has been encountered by God, and He saved me. But I make lots of mistakes. I do. I live in the perfection of God because Christ's perfection is mine. But I'm becoming what He declares me to be, but I am by no means perfect. We don't like introductions. Hello, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic. Right? Someone like, hey, don't put that up front. Don't. No. My new son-in-law, He's a medical, to be, 2nd of June, is a medical doctor. And I like dropping that. So, you know, he's a nice guy, and whatever, but he's a doctor. So we have a thing. See, we do this. This is in us. I'm a CEO of my company, or I'm a home executive. I won't say, well, I don't work. Who wants to say that? If you have a professional qualification, it's bound to come out in casual conversation. You see, it's not that God dislikes position or wealth, but it's a problem when it fences us in. I want to help some of you with wealth in the room. This is a great table, this table. This is a great table. Your wealth needs to come onto the table. We will help you. We'll help relieve you of your wealth for the kingdom of God. Can you imagine what can be done? You know, you're sitting on those couple of millions, but you got some stuff floating around. What do you need stuff floating around for? There's a table. God wants to do stuff. And because we belong, the excess, the things, we don't live in excess. We don't fence our stuff off and hedge this and hedge that. And when you have enough, you have enough. God is looking after your needs. Let's connect with one another. Let's not fence ourselves off. Let's be part of this community that is exceptionally generous. Not for the sake of carpets or ceilings or roofs, but that the kingdom of God can grow, that this life, that this community can be expanded and grow, that to the north and the south and the east and the west and the ends of the earth, this gospel, this family, this salad bowl can be expressed to the world. C.S. Lewis writes this. He says, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and possibilities of love is hell. Let love prevail. Enough of safety. Enough of our fences. This is a salad bowl that needs to be exploded into our city. You have something, Northlands Church. There is something that God is putting together. Now that community needs to be multiplied. If we get stuck in our enclaves where olives only meet olives and feta only touches feta, it's a problem. Matthew 19:23, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven." We're here to help you. I know money is awkward, and this is actually not a talk about money, but I want you to know there's a table of the Lord in front of you. And our lives, our time, our commitment, this cannot be a selfish endeavor that we're in. Last point I want to make this morning. And God wants to multiply you. Northlands, God wants to multiply your community into the world. As Paul says, I have this problem with you around dishonor. 1 Corinthians 11:33, "So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." Wait. There is a seat at the table for everyone. Have you ever felt sometimes that you were invited to something, but there's no seat for you? It's like you don't belong at the table. I want to say to you that there are no beggars at this table. There is no status at this table. There is no sexism at this table. There is no racism at this table. There is no ageism at this table. Oh, we're about young people. No, we're not. We're about people. Everyone needs to rub up against you. Oh no, we're a good, you know, north, we're up in the north there. You know, it's a good middle class, upper. That's us. I like mixing with these kind of people. I have news for you, Northlands Church. Other people are coming. They're not like you. Not like you. And it's a good thing. Why? Because we need all the ingredients. We need everything to be part of this journey. God has one central idea in mind in sending his son that's qualifying us for his table. There is a feast. There's a table of the Lord in heaven. There's something up ahead. And everything we get to do here is really a pointer to that thing that we're at. And he's saying, I've invited everyone to the table. Nobody is excluded. Isaiah 6, verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. God has one idea in his mind that is to qualify us. Not disqualify us. He wants to qualify us for his table. And I think so often when we look at community, and this is a positive message. I know I took a bit of a slant because I'm here to tell you that God wants to multiply you. He wants the feta and the things and the ingredients of this salad to be knocking up against each other, to be an instrument in reaching into this city. God's calling us to be an answer to this world that we live in. I've got a couple of kids in the room that are gonna join me at the table, and they're welcome to come up right now. I'm gonna take that gentleman sitting in the second row. Would you come join me as well? Just come and sit. Yeah, come. Would you join me? Come. I'm gonna take the young man over there without his shoes. I like that. Come. Can I have you as well? Your wife, yeah. Come join us. Yeah, sit right there. It's good. Come and join us over here if you can. Thank you for coming without your shoes. I like that. On the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And we're at a table together. You, Northlands Church, you're a table of the Lord. And just like Jesus broke the bread that night, he says, come and eat, because our lives are to be broken to the world in which we live. Our lives, the bowl of this community, young and old and whatever we are represented here, I don't know most of these people well, but whatever we are today represented at this table, God breaks us for the world. We're not to hold on to our fences and our positions. Our lives are to be broken out into the world. So as an expression of this salad bowl of community, in a moment or so, there are a couple of tables around the room. There's one over there, and I believe there's one at the back. I want you to stand up, and we're gonna do this together. As a faith statement, we are representing this prophetic call to be broken for this city, to be a community for this city. God speaking through us, prophesying through you to this world. I trust that will be a message that resonates on the inside of you. You know, feta and olives and whatever we could possibly be. Look at us. Beautiful, beautiful people. It's delightful. Prophetic contributions, things going on that God wants everyone involved in the journey. before we share together, before you stand and go to the tables, and I want you to hang it, take your stuff at the tables, just stand for a moment with both the bread and the grape juice in your hand. Just wait for a moment. And we can wait around the tables, that's okay. But before we go and do that right now, I want to ask if there is someone in this room who says, actually today, Peter, I feel on the outside of that community, I have not yet really been introduced to the grace of God. God hasn't broken into me. I know church, but because you know church doesn't mean that Jesus Christ has transformed you on the inside. And today he's asking you, say, would you be transformed? Would you allow me to save you and redeem you? And if you're sitting in this room with every eye open and everyone looking around, why? Because I'm going to invite you to come and have communion with us here at this table. And I want you to stand up and say, actually, Peter, today I want to be part of this table. And if you're sitting here, stand up where you are and come and join us. I have a chair for you. Come and join us at the table. Come and share communion with us. Let the life of God break in to you today. I know it's going to take some bold action on your part, and maybe people think you've been in church your whole life. How can it be him or her? Forget about everybody else. Today, I'm nailing my colors to the wall. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Is that you? Is there anyone in this room who needs to do that? Just stand up. We're going to wait just 30 seconds for you. If you need to stand and come join us. Come join us. We've got a seat at the table for you. There's always a seat at the table. Always a seat at the table for you. Is there anyone in this room? Okay. That's all right. There will be people next week coming to the table. Can we stand up? Can we have a little chaos? Go help yourself. Once you have the juice and the bread in your hand, just stand. Just move away from the table once you've taken, and just move away a little bit and fill the space. It's okay. There is a, as I said, there's a table at the back as well. You can go to that. Okay. Hey, no, stay where you are. It's good. Hey, there you go. You can take your own piece if you want. Just grab a piece. Just grab a piece. The bread. You're privileged because you've got lots of juice coming. Here you go. Yeah, thank you. That's great. There we go. There are a few people still moving to the tables. Thank you, Lord. I want to say to every person that's standing in this room, young or old, rich or poor, black or white, whatever nationality, whatever your background, whatever hurts and abuses and brokenness maybe have made up your past, at this table, we are one. We're all in the bowl together. We are called to break our lives for the world. And so on that night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it. And he said to his disciples, take it, eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Let's eat it together. In the same way, I took too big a piece. I must learn for the second session. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. It represents the new covenant, the new life we have together. We have a life together. We have a journey with one another. We have a mission with one another. We're to speak to the world There is something unique in the call of God over every person in the life of this church. And whoever we are, this is the call of God to us to walk in new covenant life together. So let's drink and receive from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we're a growing community of people, represented with so many different leans and things and thoughts and hearts, so many different dreams represented in this room. And I thank you, this community is a group, a community of enabling. It's a community of favor. It's a community of yes. And you are breaking us to the world. The lettuce with the feta, with the little olive, with the little carrots and all the little bits and pieces that make up the green and the white and the all the different and the all the different bits thrown together. And with a little bit of oil, we come alive. With a little bit of the Spirit of God in our lives, we come alive. And the flavor of our lives speak to the world. May we never build fences. May we never throw up defenses to the world. But may we open our hearts again as we have to this world. I pray in Jesus' name, prophetically, you're speaking through this community to this city. Amen.